We're excited about the next message we'll be able to hear today. We sure appreciate Dr. Craig Bennett, who pastors the Calvary's Harvest Baptist Church, where he started there in the greater Atlanta area and been pastoring there for now over 10 years. And amazing. He spent 15 years pastoring in Mons, Belgium. Had the privilege of pastoring a military church where many families came through for a time and then passed on and went other places. It's amazing that many of them, while they're at Calvary over there in Belgium, got saved, and not only got saved, but got trained, and now they're scattered all over the world still serving God. Amen. Well, you get hit with that gospel, it works. Amen. And then God called Dr. and Mrs. Bennett back to the States, and where he started the Calvary's Harvest Baptist Church in Atlanta, and even many of those families who served with him there in Belgium are now serving in Atlanta and serving faithfully, and we thank God for the work there. I was preaching here just a couple weeks ago back in Atlanta at a church right down the road from them, and both nights they had two van loads of young people that came to the services, and what a blessing it was to see two of the young people that were in my youth group, Alan Michael Dunn and Timothy Walker and their wives, now leading youth ministry down at Calvary's Harvest, bringing people to the meeting. And that's what it's all about. Amen. Sure appreciate Dr. and Mrs. Bennett. Appreciate their family. Appreciate their church. And appreciate what God is doing through them to help train servants and ministers and families to not just serve God where they are, but wherever God takes them to keep on serving God. He and his wife are soul winners, love the Lord, and have a church full of people that are trying to follow the same pattern. So we're excited about him preaching this morning. I know that he'll share what God's laid on his heart, so I trust that we'll be attentive, listening to the word of God from the man of God. So let's welcome Dr. Craig Bennett, pastor of the Calvary's Harvest Baptist Church in Atlanta, Georgia.
Amen. It is great to be in the house of the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. Good morning, by the way. And Pastor Patterson, thank you for the message. Amen. And I tell you, the young ladies and your family, the singers, but I tell you, they do a tremendous job. We have them come down to our church often, and they sing, and they just do a great job. And the songs she wrote, we have started trying to learn those songs. Amen. And our folks, they sing one of the songs, What a God, What a Man. And I tell you, we're not plagiarizing. You know, I'm not recording it on our own. Amen. Not without y'all permission. But they do a great job providing music, and it would do us good to encourage them by doing some of the music that they God laid on their heart. Amen. I think it would be a blessing. It's awesome being here. I know I'm ringing just a little bit, but I'm going to be moving around here, so that's going to stop, hopefully. Amen. It is a blessing to be here this 20th anniversary. Amen. And you think about it, this thing did not start off with all the fanfare that it could have had. Amen. In many areas, it was being fought against tooth and nail. But I'm excited that the Lord did not allow the enemies to prevail. Amen. I'm excited to be here, and I'm excited to have some folks with us. Amen. I'm always here with my wonderful wife. Amen. And she's over here. Amen. If you wouldn't mind saying hi, Sister Bennett. Amen. Praise the Lord. As you could tell, over the last 20 years, we have morphed into something bigger than we were when we started here. And I'm not talking about COVID. I'm talking about me. Amen. I've morphed into something bigger, but I'm excited to be here as well. Amen. And we do have some folks from Calvary's Harvest with us. Amen. If y'all wouldn't mind just saying amen. They normally do better than that, amen. I'm excited about what they're doing anyway, though. And we're just excited to be here. Dr. Baldwin's vision is still something that you and I can get a glimpse of and catch fire to and continue to go on for the glory of God. I was asking Pastor Kenny up here about the water. He said, I looked at the water over there, and he said there's a water over here on the left and on the right, amen. I wanted to make sure about which one you were drinking out of, amen. Amen. But you drank out of that one and you talked over this one. Amen. And so you may not have the problem, but sometimes I get excited and I share. And And I don't know if you shared with this one, so I'm not thirsty right now, amen. So, I'm sorry about that, amen, but they both looked appealing, and amen. And so, ushers, y'all can take these where you want to, amen, because I'm sure. Amen, amen. That one looks like it's lemonade, amen. And that's the, I already know, Brother Kenny Simmons, don't touch that one. That ain't yours. Folks, if you wouldn't mind, take your Bibles, turn to Acts chapter number 4 today. Acts chapter number 4 this morning. We're excited to see what God's going to do. We're going to look at several passages today. We're going to try and preach fast and make sure that we get done in time because we have we got Dr. Don's sister who's coming afterwards, and we want to make sure that he has his time, that God can use him to be a blessing. Amen. We are excited. It looked like I saw the Dawsons back there. Amen. It's good to see them. Amen. All the way from Tucson, Arizona. Amen. That's Tucson for the real world. Amen. Acts chapter number 4, when you get there, say amen. Verse number 1 says, "And as they spake unto the people, the priest and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them, being grieved that they taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection from the dead. And they laid hands on them and put them in hold unto the next day, for it was now eventide. Howbeit many of them which heard the word believed, and the number of the men was about 5,000. And it came to pass on the morrow that their rulers and elders and scribes and Annas, the high priest, and Caiaphas and John and Alexander, and as many as were of the kindred of the high priest, were gathered together at Jerusalem. And when they had set them in the midst, they asked, 'By what power or by what name have you done this?' Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, 'Ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man, by what means he is made whole, be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doeth this man stand here before you whole. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved.' Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled and took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. And beholding the man which was healed standing with them, they could say nothing against it. But when they had commanded them to go aside out of the council, they conferred among themselves, saying, 'What shall we do to these men? That indeed a notable miracle hath been done by them is manifest to all them that dwell in Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it. But that it spread no further.'" It's amazing what has been thrown against a simple movement and message of a man's heart that God laid there to try and stop it. But that it spread no further. Let's cut it off. Let's shut it down. Let's make sure it has none effect. Make sure that it doesn't accomplish what God had put in place to accomplish. But that it spread no further among the people. Let us straitly threaten them that they speak henceforth to no man in this name. Father, we love you and thank you today for your grace and mercy. We thank you today, Father, for the privilege of being able to stand behind this sacred desk, Lord, and proclaim what thus saith the Lord. We thank you for the word of God, our mandate, Lord, our manual that gives us what we need to have, Lord, that we don't have to make up anything. All we have to do is get into the word of God and proclaim that which you have already ordained. Take charge of our hearts today, Lord. You know we have need of today. And I thank you, Father, that you've allowed me to be here today. Forgive me of sin. Empty me of self. Fill me with your spirit this morning that I might be a blessing. My desire, Lord, is to lift up the Savior. And in everything, Lord, we want him to get the glory. Take charge. Thank you for mercy. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen and amen. It is a great honor standing behind this sacred desk, but it's one that I do not take lightly. Pastor Patterson was talking about his knees shaking. I got to be honest with you, I never stepped behind the sacred desk without a certain fear and nervousness in my soul. And I never want to lose that. I don't want to come up here and think that I have the power or potential to persuade apart from the Holy Spirit of God. I am nothing in this equation. God does not need me. He never needed me. But I praise him and thank him that he gave me the opportunity to be used by him, because I was nothing coming up. High school dropout, getting involved with all kinds of foolishness. But I can tell you this, one day back in April of 1977 in a field in Fort Bragg, North Carolina, somebody opened up an old-fashioned hardback Gideon Bible, opened up and showed me the Lord Jesus. And I got saved back then, and I have never been the same. Amen. And because of that, I have learned to reverence the things of God. I do not take them for granted. And so when I get the opportunity to stand behind this sacred desk, I realize, God, I need you to empower the person behind the desk. I need you to be there, and I need you to proclaim through him what thus saith the Lord. So it causes a holy reverence to be upon me at all times, because I'm afraid. I'm afraid to tell people the wrong thing, lead people the wrong way, give them the wrong information, because when it's all said and done, God said, if you mess them up, their blood will I require at your hands. One day I'm going to stand before the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. One day I'm going to have crowns, I pray, to cast down at his feet. But one day the only thing I want to hear from him is, well done, thou good and faithful servant. This passage over here that we're dealing with in Acts has to do with an impotent man who was lame from birth, who God intervened in his life. The account actually starts over in chapter number 3. After the day of Pentecost had fully come and people were getting saved by the drove, 3,000 got added to the church the very first day. In direct fulfillment of God's promise in Acts 1:8, that says ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. The message went out, powerful preaching took place, people got saved, and it was absolutely awesome. And this was going on, and the Lord was adding to the church daily such as should be saved. Amen. And all of a sudden, you find Peter and John, they are walking around going to the gate called a Beautiful. Amen. And I love something that happens even in chapter number 3. There's a transition that takes place. You got chapter number 3 and verse number 2. The Bible said, and a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful. Now, one moment it's called Beautiful, but then when you go over there and look after that man had got his legs under him, you find over there when they talk about it, look at verse number 10. And they knew that it was he which set for alms at the what? The Beautiful gate. It was a gate called Beautiful now, but I see how God has worked this thing in this man's life. And now they look at it, it's a beautiful gate. Why? Because God stepped through it, and God made a difference in a man's life that changed the whole narrative of what God was getting ready to do with not just the nation of Israel, but with the whole world. Amen. A marvelous transition is about to take place. Peter and John, they walk up on this man who's been laid there at the gate. And when they look down at him, they say, look on us. And when they say, look on us, the man looked up, expected to receive something. And he had no idea, but he was getting ready to receive more than he ever bargained for. They looked at him and they said, silver and gold have we none, but such as I have, give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ, stand up and walk. And all of a sudden, this man who had never walked, never stood, all of a sudden, they reached out. He's standing up now, and he's getting excited. By the way, he's getting this thing going. He's never walked before, so he doesn't really know how to do it. He's watched people do it, but he doesn't know how to do it. He doesn't know how to get things in order, so he's walking, and he's getting this thing, and they're heading into the temple. This is the place he sat in front of, but he never went in. He's always saw it from the outside, seeing so much going on, but he wasn't in there. Amen. If you're not careful, it was like the entrance into fundamentalism for us. We're standing on the outside, lame, looking around, and finally we had the opportunity to stand and walk, and we were able to go in. Leaping and excited about what God was doing in his life. And he's leaping through the temple. And by the way, can you imagine the faces of those people to see this man in his holy, sacred, solemn place with Rabbi Big Head and Dr. Know-It-All on one side over there, watching this man leaping and running and getting excited. Now, Brother Simmons, you said you jumped over here last night, and you can almost see your sacrilegious go out, amen. And he said something. He said, I can't do that anymore. I'm 50. And I sat over there and said, man, when did he get that old? And it never occurred to me that if he got that old, I am not in the time warp. Somewhere along the line, I got old. And by the way, all those cliches, you're only as old as you feel. You are old whether you feel like it or not. That ain't going to change because I don't feel as old as I am. You know, I don't feel as big as I am. It doesn't change the dimensions one bit. I realized something. When I tried to go up with that excess, that unnecessary bulk, I realized gravity works. Amen. And it'll snatch you back down when you're this big. Amen. Hey. I can't go leaping like I used to. Amen. I just kind of stroll slowly. Amen. Limping. Amen. Instead of leaping. This man gets saved. He gets his legs under him. He's walking and excited. And the people see it. The people see it. Look down here what happens in verse number 7. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up. And immediately his feet and his ankle bones received strength. And he leaping up stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and what? And praising God. You could say this is a good thing. It's still Bible to praise God. Amen. It's still Bible to go ahead and encourage others to praise God. Amen. And the Bible said, and all the people, what? Saw him walking and doing what? And watch what they said. And they knew that it was he which sat for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened unto him. They looked at this thing and said, this is awesome. Glory to the Lord. Look at this guy. He's never walked in. He's now in the talk of the town. And now they're in the temple. And when they get into the temple, verse number 11, you see Peter, he begins to seize this opportunity. He's got a crowd. And by the way, this crowd was bigger than the 3,000 that got saved. There's up to 5,000 men here. How do you know that? Because the Bible says in chapter 4, when he had to deal with them, 5,000. Look at chapter 4 and verse 4. Howbeit, many of them which heard the word believed, and the number of the men was about how many? Amen. And so this huge crowd is here, and Peter seizes the opportunity. Amen. Just like a good preacher. You get a good crowd, buddy, and we're ready to preach, amen? That instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine, you are talking about us. We are ready. Look at verse 11. And as a lame man which was healed held Peter and John. And by the way, this guy has never been here. People making a big deal out of him. He's holding on to the only people who showed him how to get right. He said all the people ran together unto them in the porch that is called Solomon's, greatly wondering. And when Peter saw it, he answered unto the people, ye men of Israel, why marvel ye at this? Or why look ye so earnestly on us as though by our own power or what? Holiness. Pastor Kenny brought that out very, very elegantly last night. It wasn't our holiness. It's his holiness. It's not nothing we did. We had made this man to walk. The God of Abraham and Isaac and of Jacob and the God of our fathers has glorified his son Jesus, whom ye delivered up and denied him in the presence of Pilate when he was determined to let him go. But ye denied the Holy One and the just and desired a murderer to be granted unto you. Now let me do a pause here. They still would rather have a criminal than Christ. They are working effortlessly to get more criminals released early and cause more Christians to die off faster. Let the murderers go, but you need to silence those Christians. Amen? But watch what Peter and them said. He said, and killed the Prince of Life, whom God has raised from the dead, whereof we are what? We're witnesses. As we deal with these principles about what the theme is for COBRA this year, he says, he looks at those things and he said, you know, we have seen the Lord and our witness. I've seen what God can do, and I still see what God is doing. And so Peter's preaching this message. Boy, people are getting excited. Powerful things are happening. The man is still standing there. It is evidence that God works. Serving God works. Here is a perfect living example. The scribes, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, they all get together. They hear about it in chapter number 4, starting in verse number 1. They hear about this thing here, and they take Peter, they take John, and they take the man who was healed, and they put him away for the night because they said it was about even, and I don't want to deal with this tonight. We're going to deal with it tomorrow. And the next day, watch what it says in chapter number 4, and they in verse 3, and they laid hands on them and put them in hold until the next day, for it was down eventide. Howbeit many of them which heard the word believed, and the number of men was about 5,000. And it came to pass on the morrow that their rulers and the elders and the scribes and Annas, and we know those folks, amen, they all gathered together. And when they had, in verse 7, when they had set them in the midst, they asked, by what power or by what name have you done this? And you know what? When they did that again, Peter seized the opportunity. Now I get a chance to tell him about Jesus again. And I love what happens here, because when you find out, when you look what happens here, it says, and then Peter filled with the Holy Ghost. Now, if you're going to open your mouth to say something and brag on Jesus, make sure the Holy Spirit of God is working in you. Don't just arbitrarily get up there and think you can shout and you can say stuff and God's going to be honored by it. So he filled with the Holy Ghost, seized the opportunity, and watch what happened here. You find out Peter begins to go through some things, and you'll see Peter's claims. And here's what he's going to start claiming. He said, number one, I'm claiming this. Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man, by what means he is made whole, be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doeth this man stand here before you whole. This is the stone, he said, which was set at naught of you builders. Now you're the scribes, you're the people, you're the Sadducees, the Pharisees, you're the people who are supposed to be teaching the people, and you threw away the most important part of the entire program of God. You threw away the cornerstone. You got nothing to set the foundation or set the structure straight with. The cornerstone. He said, you set it at naught. We don't need that. We don't need Black America. We don't need that group in our churches. We don't need them polluting our houses. We don't need that. And for generations, this was going on. Generations. But now this new set of these witnesses are here. And they're saying, you can't get past this. You just can't sweep this away. Why can't you sweep it away? Because when you looked at Peter's claims, they were very, very convincing. Boy, look at this guy. This is the person who you set at naught. This is the stone in verse number 11, which was set at naught of you builders, which had become the head of the corner. Neither is there what? Salvation in any other. For there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. It's not going to be by what Dr. So-and-so said, by what Rabbi So-and-so said, what this one here said, and what that one said. It ain't going to be because of your traditions. It's not going to be because of your victories. It's not going to be because of your standards. It's not going to be because of any of those things. It's only by the name of the Lord Jesus that people get saved and a difference is made in their lives. The only way a person's going to walk is if he has Jesus in his life to help him make the course right. You always need Jesus to get it right. And by the way, traditionalism had everything but Jesus. And if we're not careful, fundamentalism uses everything but Jesus. We got him, but we got these rules that help define him the way we think he should be. Hey, folks, those doctors, those lawyers, those priests, they had the Torah. They had the Word of God. They had it there. But they didn't use it according to the program of God. Peter's came, they were convincing. But then you find Peter's critics. They were confounded. Look down here. It says in verse number 13, now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men. Can I tell you something, folks? When God first called me to preach, and then he first called me to pastor, I would preach and I would have just tremendous time getting into the things of God. People were getting saved. All these things were happening. And I would go see some of the brethren, and the first thing they would ask me at fellowship meetings, what school did you go to? Because depending upon what school you went to is going to determine if I'm going to really continue to have fellowship with you. Amen. Because if you went to Bob Jones, or you went to PCC, or you went to Howells Anderson, or you went to West Coast, I was my determination of my fellowship, continuance of my fellowship was dependent upon what camp you were from. Amen. And then you had us who just leaping around, and we didn't even know we was in camp. Amen. John R. Rice said, who's John R. Rice? Who cares? I'm just leaping. I never walked before. I never stood before. I never knew how to train my family. I didn't know any of this stuff. All I know is I'm walking, and I've never done it before. Please imagine in your mind that I'm leaping higher than this. I was over here last night talking with some folks, and it felt like I felt the vibration in the floor. And I thought, say again? That explains why you stood still. Amen. Get on me. Amen. Hey, folks, they didn't know about that. All this camp stuff. What school did you go to? And I said, I learned at the feet of the pastors that God has put in my life. I learned what God said by watching their example, by seeing their witness. And it made a difference in my life. And they immediately turned away from me like I had halitosis. Oh, okay. And just so I can silence the critics, I went to these Bible colleges. Got more degrees now than a thermometer from a high school dropout. Got several earned doctors, got master's degrees. All of this foolishness. And you know something? I don't rely on none of that stuff. Not one bit of it. Not one bit of it. Because if the book doesn't give the knowledge of salvation, neither is there salvation in any other. Salvation is not going to come because I went to Howells Anderson. Hell, salvation is not going to come because I went to Piedmont or Pensacola. It's not because of the school affiliation. It's because of my Savior's affiliation that makes me different. All the critics were confounded. These are ignorant and unlearned men. He said, they marveled and they took knowledge of them that they had what? They'd been with Jesus. Could I help you? Jesus has always been the one who makes the difference. The only thing we have to do is stop trying to clandestinely slip him into people's lives. We need to overtly tell them, by the name of Jesus is why this man walks. The critics were confounded. You look at Peter's claims, you look at Peter's critics, and now you see Peter's companion. Because watch what's happening here. Verse number 14. And remember, Peter and John, they had put away for the night, but they took this guy too. And the Bible says, and beholding the man which was healed, standing with them, they could do what? They could say nothing against it. I remember many years ago, Pastor Gamble was preaching a message, and he said, go ahead and examine us. We're genuine. Examine us if you think that there's a flaw, a failure in the Christ that's in us. Examine us. We're genuine. The gospel made a difference in our lives. The gospel changed us. It takes us back to a day of before and after. Before Christ, I was low down, wretched, blind, naked, foolish. After Christ, in the year of our Lord, he taught me how to love my wife when I didn't even know what love was. He taught me the value of training up our children in the way that they should go. He put everything on a foundational truth that was contrary to the surroundings around me. You're not going to let your children do this? As a matter of fact, no. We just want to go over here. You're not going to. No, no, we're not going to do that either. Everybody's doing it. No, not mine. Mine's not going to do it. Did my children understand it only to begin it? Absolutely not, because they are just like I was and just like every one of you were. They were born sinners. Amen. And sinners only know one thing good. They know how to sin. And if the truth be known, they like it. And so, as all of these things, you know, I didn't know all of those things. All I know is this. Now this companion is standing here, and they could say nothing against it. It is absolutely evident that God did something great in this man's life. And so they set him aside, Pastor Mike, and they begin to plot. And they said, watch this. These are the critics. It says, but when they had commanded them to go aside out of the council, they conferred among themselves. By the way, I used to get so tired of the secret meetings that was taking place while they try and figure out what to do with this passionate movement that had sprung up. They said, because guess what? Saying, what shall we do to these men for that indeed, what? A notable miracle hath been done by them. What are we going to do with Pastor Baldwin? This guy is awesome. His training, his treatment of the scriptures, the testimony of his family. What are we going to do with him? He said, we can't help but acknowledge that a miracle was done by them is manifest. And watch this. To all them that dwell. This wasn't a secret thing. Everybody saw this. Everybody, and by the way, I still hear this. When I go to preach to a place, they say, do you know Lou Baldwin? You know Kenny Baldwin? You know Mike Baldwin? Yeah, I've heard of him. I've seen an article or something about it, you know. You need to go up to them. It's like, once you go see them, they shall tell you what thou oughtest to do. Brother Clint, I say, I'll consider that. What they don't know is God introduced me to them when Kenny was 8 years old and high energy and rolling on the floor and inspiring me to want to spank him too. Boy, settle down. I was at that at your home in McLean. He had that piano that he got in there. Dee Dee, she would get on the piano, she'd play a little bit, and it was soft and all that. Kenny get on there. And he smiled and looked up at you like. And you knew terrorism was in his heart. You knew it. He's the standard. A miracle was done. If you're ever going to be compared and accepted, he's the standard that you look at. Have you considered him? 20 years ago, the awesomeness of that responsibility came to a loggerhead. And he says, we got to do something to make this thing happen, to get this thing going in such a way that these 40 million black people don't just have one, but they could have churches all around America that they could have a standard in. Y'all still with me so far? I only got a few moments here compared to eternity. The opportunity seized. Peter and them came over there, and then they said, we can't let this thing spread any further. We got to stop it. We got to stop it. And you know the crazy thing? Most of the people who were trying to stop it was the ones who were supposed to be the ones who were going to be helped by it. Man, all kinds of people. We've been doing that for years. We don't need this. We don't have to have that. We've done it all before. You don't need churches with independent black preachers in there. You don't need that. We've been doing it. Hey, what's so different between you and us? Then you just take them back to the Word of God. And God made the difference. God showed them people like Paul who said, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. Saw a man here who with a worldwide vision that had a burden for his people. He said, my kindred according to the flesh. And they thought it strange. It's okay for Paul to do that. It's okay for the Filipinos to do that, for the Hispanics to do that, but you guys, you shouldn't have to do that. And you know what? Witness after witness, testimony after testimony, church after church revealed the honesty and the integrity that God was working through this thing. Amen? I mean, it was just, it's exciting. And it's still exciting. Amen? So as they're doing this, they said, let it spread no further among the people. Let us straightly threaten them. Let's threaten them. We're going to cut off support. We're not going to let you preach for us anymore. By the way, I learned a long time ago, God called me to pastor one church. Amen? Just one church. And that church right now is the one I'm pastoring. Before, when I was in Belgium, it was one church. Amen. Guess what? I don't have to preach anywhere. And if you listen to some of our folks, they prefer me not to preach anywhere. I don't have to preach anywhere. And so God gave me a responsibility to the church over there, Calvary's Harvest Baptist Church over there in Jonesboro, Georgia. And that's where I'm supposed to reach my Jerusalem and hopefully see people get saved and ordained and send them out to reach the Judeans in the area. And hopefully as they plant more churches out there, we'll be able to reach the Samaritans and the uttermost parts of the world. That's what God called me to do. I just want to be his witness there. Amen. And they looked at Peter's claims. We see Peter's critics, but they couldn't deal with Peter's companion. Why? He's proof positive. We had a meeting the other day, not too long ago, and Brother Sebel came down and he brought this young fellow with him. He's sitting over there right now. He brought him to Cobra too. It's okay. You can smile. Amen. Praise the Lord. He's talking about me. He's a small guy. You can see him leap when he comes around. Hey, I'm around everybody. I'm looking at this stuff. This is amazing. He doesn't know what to do. But after a while, as he settles under Pastor Sebel for a little while, he'll figure out what this is all about. Amen. And so, folks, and you see the opportunity seized, but you see the obstruction sense. We got to stop this. Cobra can't go to year 21. It can't go to year 25. It's got to be silenced. It's got to be stopped. But there's one thing wrong. Watch this. It says, and they called them, verse 18, and commanded them not to what? To speak at all, nor teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said unto them, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God. What? You tell me. Should I listen to you or should I listen to God? I just need to know. I want to know how you feel about this. Who should I listen to? Amen. Brother Ted, I don't want you to think anymore like that. Should I listen to you or should I listen to God? Give me the advice. Amen. That's all I need to know. And these guys, watch what happens. He said, verse number 20, for we cannot but speak the things which we have what? Seen and what? See, you can't deny this. You see it yourself. You see it yourself. You cannot get around it. So what happened? So when they further threatened them, they let them go, finding what? We're genuine. Nothing how they might punish them because of the people, for all men glorify God for that which was done. For the man, their companion. For the man was above 40 years old, of whom this miracle of healing was shown. Now, the thing that got them, the obstructionists that came in there, first of all, what they saw. They see this man, they see this boldness. The first thing they saw was how bold these men was. And by the way, when I listen to the preachers, I can't help but think and feel, man, these guys are on fire. You know, you ever hear people preach and they intimidate you? And I'm not saying they intimidate you because they're so much better, because, you know, you got the same book they got. Not unless you got a perversion in your hands, amen? You got the same book they got. You supposed to have the same Lord that they had. You got the same Holy Spirit that they had. You got everything the same as them. But when they get up there and preach, and you start hearing the sincerity of their heart, how God laid a message on their heart for such a time as this, all of a sudden there's an intimidation, and you get to go on, even if you don't want to, you begin to go, woo! Okay, hopefully nobody saw that. I mean, there's times when I sat back there at the edge of my seat thinking, I could have said that. But I was thinking that very thing. And I had to acknowledge, if God wanted you to say it, you'd put it on your heart. Amen. And the preaching, 20 years, and it's not gotten stale. It's not gotten old. Because the ministry and the mission continues. With fresh opportunities. These young people that are coming up, they're looking for leaders, but then they're looking to lead. Yeah. Amen. Man, that next generation. Boy, I heard some of them, we got this thing, old guns, young guns. Well, I heard some of these old guns out there, and they are seasoned. Man, they are smooth. Man, they know how to clean up a mess. But some of these young guns, they come out there with bazookas and machine guns, and they come, and they bomb everybody. And they, folks are so excited, they don't even realize that they got hit by a mortar. Whoa, whoa, man, that was good, wasn't it? They're looking for the day in which they can stand and say, we are witnesses to these things. We was there when it started. We was there as it was going on. We was there when the vision got realized. It was in a pastor's heart, his pastor. We were there. The men who had been with Jesus, the man who had been brought to Jesus. Guess what? There are men who got saved through this movement, who called the priest through this movement, who had started churches through this movement, who are sitting here now. All these things are happening because God moved. The opportunity seized. The obstruction sensed. But let me close with this one here real quick. When I think about all that's happened, I think about the opposition scorned. They said, stop preaching in this name. Stop doing that. Stop being that witness. Don't meet, talk about COVID, by the way. In certain black circles, COVID's got a bad name. Why is that? Well, you don't think that we can reach people either. We didn't say that at all. Never said it at all. You think you're the only ones. Where'd you get that from? How are you going to tell me what I'm thinking? Are y'all all clairvoyant? Tell me what I'm thinking. You think you're the only one? No, I think I like hot dogs with mustard on it. You missed that one. We got others who say, who do you think you are? And when we confess, we're just sinners saved by grace. With a burden to see people reach with the gospel who's been neglected so long, they don't even know the truth when it's given to them. That's all we are. We're simple folk. Amen. Drop out from Philadelphia. From Pine Bluff, Arkansas. Pine Bluff. Say again? Yeah. I've been there. From Pine Bluff. Country folks, city folks, the ones in between, we don't know any different. We all have one thing in common, though. We got our Christ, and we got the cause. We got the cause. So, folks, when I look around and I see all of these people and see all of these things after 20 years, I still think about COVID's critics, the claims of COVID. This is all we want to do. And they've been questioning our claims for 20 years. And we haven't claimed anything different. Does it mean we've accomplished everything we wanted to do? Absolutely not. Does it mean we never made any mistakes along the way? No, never, absolutely not. We've made 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 7, 9, 12. It doesn't matter. We're not infallible, only God is. But folks, the cause is genuine. And the cause still needs to continue. COVID's claims to reach 40 million blacks with the gospel of the Lord Jesus. It's a lofty claim, but the miracle of God makes it possible. Amen. COVID's critics, they're still out there. This thing will come to naught. It's only a matter of time. I don't mind you coming, but don't say anything about COVID. You know, when I come, I'm just going to talk about Christ. And Christ is going to work COVID in it. That's his job. COVID's companions. How many of y'all got saved since this thing started? How many of y'all got local New Testament churches in your community since this thing got started? Let me introduce you to COVID's companions. Sometimes we still need to be held up a little bit because we still don't know how to walk as well as we could. And should. but it's not stopping us from leaping in the temple. You people are unruly. Let me see how calm you're going to be if you ain't never walked before. You ain't never stood before. You're bouncing on these things because you didn't even know this thing could happen, amen. And now all of a sudden you're just going around there and you just a wonderful grace. And you don't even know how to run right, amen. You don't know how to let me see how calm you're gonna be. Amen. When you finally got set free. You know, the dictionary defines witness as something, a person who sees something happen. A person who makes a statement in court about what he or she knows or has seen. A person who is present at an event and can say that it happened. 20 years ago, on a Monday night. Now, it actually happened the year before. But actually, it happened several years when God laid it on this preacher's heart. But 20 years ago on a Monday night, I had a chance to stand up here, still remember the message, amen, you know, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. And I preached that Monday night, and I was excited, I was leaping, I was frailing, I was kicking, I was a young gun, pow, 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 shot everything. And then Pastor Baldwin came Tuesday night and said, Brother Bennett said this stuff here, and now I'm going to show you what's here. And he went in there, and he dissected that word, and I thought, oh, wow, all of that was there. Well, I did not see that, because I was too busy shooting everybody. When it was all said and done, I learned, I've seen it, I'm a witness to it, and as a result, I can tell you, people are standing and leaping and going into the temple, going into the churches for the first time with a clear understanding that God can make a difference in your life. If I continue to show people that, folks, the legacy will continue as churches are started. Amen? Father, we love you.